Welcome to Crossroads Connection. This is a show all about having conversations surrounding life, ministry, and culture. I want to say a quick thank you to our friends at the Truth Network for airing this program. And thank you for joining and listening to us today, wherever you're joining from, whether you're riding in the car, you're listening on your phone, at home. We're just glad that you're taking time to join us today. And I'm Tyler. I'm joined with Jamie, as always. Hey. Jamie, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Tyler. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. I'm glad to be here. I'm sitting next to Andy as well, our other co-host. Andy, how are you?
I'm doing great. I see this is just snorted a little bit.
You did, man.
You're like,
this is authentic stuff right now.
I know, we're just going to roll with it.
Yeah.
I'm doing well. You caught me like in half like breathing out mode and half talking mode. So as you can tell, we like just to be real.
Yeah, man.
We're so real.
We're not polished. No. We're just real.
No.
Just got to have some fun,
authentic.
You know? Have some authenticity. That's what the people want.
Sure is.
But yes, Tyler, thank you so much. And thank you, Jamie. And of course, as we've already said, wherever you're listening from, thank you so much for joining us today. Hope you're having a great Saturday. And really, truly, I hope that this will add a little bit of boost to your day. Not only what we're going to talk about, what I love is that we always get to try to drop something inspirational that we're gleaning from Scripture as we are in this year of transformation, more than halfway through the year of transformation. By the way, we're now in the New Testament. Come on, somebody.
Oh,
come on.
So for those of you that are...
I didn't want to say it, but it couldn't come soon enough.
So here's a question for both of you. What's one thing that you've learned from reading through the Old Testament about God? Just something that you learned from God. So, and while you're thinking about it, here's the reason I asked that. So we finished up the Old Testament. Now we're in the New Testament. And, you know, a lot of people do, the Old Testament's long. I mean, it's long and it's got some harder books in there and it's not as quick paced as the New Testament, but it's got a lot of rich, deep theology and doctrine and history in it. But what do you think? What do you think about the God of the Old Testament now that you've read it through?
Well,
that's my question.
Yeah, I think oftentimes when you think about the Old Testament, you think about some of the, maybe some of the violence or, you know, the exile, and you tend to think of, you know, that the Old Testament is an angry God or something like that. And
so has that,
and
changed? Yeah, has that changed a little bit now that you've read through it in more detailed with us?
Yeah, I'm not going to say you don't see that. You know, God does get angry, and I've been able to see more as we're kind of seeing it in the whole, especially some of the Old Testament writers while they're writing in these times of pain and suffering, there's always this picture of a future hope, you know, and kind of seeing that God's faithfulness is on the other side of this suffering. So I think that's been something that I've been able to see.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
very good. What about you, Jamie?
My answer is slightly similar. For me, we know this, right? But it was that reminder of the story of these Israelites who are so fickle and that disobedient, and they would turn from him, and he would sometimes allow them to face the consequences of that, but then he would redeem them and he would deliver them and restore them, and that back and forth, which, you know, a lot of that I was reading through during this time of quarantine and the struggles that we're going through as a nation, and just clinging to that concept of he always brought them back, or he always forgave them, he always, you know, so...
Yeah, that's very true. My one word response that is the word redemption.
Yeah.
I think it's a story of redemption from the very beginning. That you're right. Both of you are actually right. It's there's sin, then there's consequences, and then there's redemption, and there's hope. Then unfortunately there's sin, then there's redemption, and then there's hope and consequence. Then of course again there's, and it just seems like there's this couple thousand year period of Old Testament history where it is a roller coaster of sin, consequences, redemption, all the way up through the Old Testament. You know, recently we just wrapped up the Old Testament, and prior to wrapping it up, we spent a time in Daniel chapter 6 with Daniel in the lion's den. And one of the takeaways from that, I think, kind of also summarizes the importance of what we're doing together. And I'm just gonna drop this as a question and not really discuss it for everybody, because we have a very special guest today with Haven House that I definitely want to get to that conversation. Yeah. Right. But just for a takeaway thought is how are you living a biblically centered life in a modern day Babylon? So the Babylonians come in and they take into captivity a whole lot of Israelites. You know, they come in and Daniel's one of them. Daniel's 16 years old when he's taken away. In fact, most of the prophets we read are ones that were taken away. And so Daniel is there, and Daniel has this massive ability to maintain integrity and maintain his spiritual growth, maintain who he is in God, even in a foreign land? So it got me thinking about that question. So for people just to think about today, and maybe we'll talk about it again in the future, but just to think about it for a moment, how are you able to live biblically centered lives in a modern day Babylon? Real quick from Daniel, you know, he had a powerful prayer life. You know, that was a big piece of it. Mm-hmm. His spiritual growth was important. And one of the things that I love about him that I hope we can all say about ourselves is that Daniel had an impeccable attitude and he lived his life above reproach. They said that they could find no fault in him at all. Mm-hmm. The word is this way, in the version that I like to read in the ESV, they said that he had an excellent spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think that, wow, what would happen if we lived life now with an excellent spirit? Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So inspirational. Well, we do have, like you mentioned, a wonderful interview with our guest, Michelle Zechman from Haven House today. So we want to get to that. Let's listen to a quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll jump into our interview with Michelle.
Perhaps you've asked yourself this question. Are you running the business, or is the business running you? How might your teams grow if your teams were driving the business forward instead of you? You are sitting on a wealth of untapped opportunity. It takes courage to learn how to create a culture where your people are truly empowered to own their seats. My name's Cheryl Scanlon, business and executive coach. Working together, we'll go straight to your core challenges to sort through competing demands and realign to your highest priorities for measurable results. Visit c3advantage.net. That's c3advantage.net.
All right, and we are back from the break with our very special guest, Michelle Zechman from Haven House. Michelle, thank you so incredibly much for joining us on the episode today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I am very excited to get to know not only you, but also more about Haven House. One of the things we love to do on this program is to give partners, especially here in our own city, an opportunity to share the heart that you have for this ministry and this organization, and then, of course, how people can get involved with that. So before we jump into that, Michelle, why don't you just tell us a little about you and maybe lead it up to how did you get involved with Haven House?
Great. Thank you so much. So my background is in working with youth my entire career. I have worked with youth for over 30 years, which I think officially makes me old.
Brave. That makes you brave. That's what it does.
I added those numbers up the other day and I was like, wow.
Yeah, you can't go down that road. That road can get scary pretty quick when you start adding up the years of doing things, but that's wonderful.
So I've worked in the juvenile justice field and child mental health all my entire career, and my master's degree is in public administration and nonprofit management, which led me to Haven House.
Wow.
I've been at Haven House Services for 11 years and really got to that place. It was a culmination of like all the things that I had done in my career, and it was my dream job, and I really just couldn't say no, and now they can't get rid of me. So that's how I ended up there.
You know, what is wonderful, if I think back of all the people we've been talking to over this more than half a year now on this episode and on this program, what I love is it seems like God always has a way to match people's gift sets with their passions and their career when it comes to, and isn't that just the best way that it happens, that all these years prior set you up and led you into the role now? So what is exactly your role and title at Haven House?
I am the chief executive officer at Haven House Services, and my role is managing the day-to-day operations of the organization. But frankly, I do the easy work, like our folks that are working with the kids are doing the really hard work.
Yeah.
So we have a staff of about 60 employees that are working with some of our most marginalized youth in Wake County.
So let's talk about Haven House. So for people who do not know what Haven House is, what is it? What's the mission and vision behind it and the heartbeat behind it?
Right. So our mission is to help youth be safe, supported, and successful. And we really want, you know, we just believe that all youth need to have the opportunity to succeed. For Haven House Services, we've been around for 47 years, and we started small as an organization that was working with kids that had no place to go. I mean, so it really came out of a need in the community, and the community got together and said, you know, we have these kids that it's not safe for them to be at home, and we have nowhere else for them to go. And so that is where we were. That was sort of our origin story. And then we, over the years have developed programming as research has come out and as evidence has shown what works best for kids. We have 11 different programs that work with kids in multiple different ways. But two populations of kids that we work with primarily are homeless youth. So we have, we have the only shelter for kids 10 to 17 in this part of the state. And, you know, we have that's, you know, during this time of things being closed has been open every day and is still serving kids. And we have staff that are doing great work as a place of safety for kids in our community. We have staff that do street outreach work that are looking for homeless youth on the streets. We have an apartment program for kids that are homeless that are 18 to 24 that are in need, you know, that are on the streets and in need of their first place to live. And then the other part of our organization works with kids that are really kids that are at risk for involvement in the juvenile justice or criminal justice system, all the way to kids that are deeply involved in the juvenile justice system. And that's, you know, for us, that is our work. And that is, you know, both of those populations, and they often cross groups. But for us, these are some of our most, like I said earlier, most marginalized youth in our community. They come to us with all kinds of trauma, mental health needs, supportive services needs, and really lots of things that we can do to support them.
Wow. You know, it kind of hits you in the heart because you think of homelessness, oftentimes people don't think about the kids or youth. You think of the adults that you might see around our city. And wow, just to hear you say homeless youth from ages, what did you say, 10 to 17? You know, just to think about that for a moment, it's got a, there is the answer why this is so needed and important. I don't want to put you on the spot, and if you don't have this, it's fine, but do you have any kind of a number or statistic of how many homeless youth there are just here in our city?
I don't. I don't know it off the top of my head. We have, the schools collect that data. It's a big number. It's been growing over the, you know, we know that it's been growing significantly over the past years. I'm not great at holding that number in my head, but I have it.
Yeah, that's it's too many, whatever the number is, right? The number is, whether
thousands. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I heard two different age groups. So just to understand the program a little more, you mentioned 10 and I heard up to 24. So what is the full age range that you are working with? Is it 10 to 24 or is it
actually 6 to 24?
Wow, okay.
And so, like I said, we have 11 different programs and each one of our programs kind of meets a different population.
Yeah.
So we have programs that are for our older youth that are the 18 to 24 range.
Right.
And then we have, you know, some that are start as early as 6. So it's
With the 11 programs, you know, I'm sure that you know a little bit about each of them and what's going on. Which one of those 11, if you had to pick one right now to just talk about a little bit more, which one of the 11 is kind of on your heart even right now in the season that we're in?
That's a hard one. You know, I mean, I know
it's like I'm asking you to pick your favorite child, right?
I know you kind of are asking me to pick my favorite child. I think when we talk about homelessness, you know, I think that folks are hearing that evictions are kind of being put on hold and, you know, so maybe there's this place where people are being able to stay housed. And that's not the story of our youth. I mean, our youth are not being evicted, they're being kicked out of their homes, you know? So it's when you're 18 years old and it's not going well at home and everybody's kind of stuck in the house and they don't have a job and it's really hard to get a job right now. And, you know,
right.
If you're a young person, you know, these are the kids that we're working with right now. Those are the kids that we're seeing on the streets and they're the kids that are, you know, we are trying to scoop up and wrap our, you know, our services around to kind of help get them to a place where that they have housing.
So walk us around the street outreach, that 18 to 24 age of what you're just talking about. So walk me through just a high level of you identify, here's a 18 to 24 year old on the street. Walk me through the steps that you all have in place to help them find a place where they can stay for themselves?
Yeah. I mean, I think when we meet, our street outreach staff are out in the community. So they're going where kids are. We have encampments in the woods. There are places that we work with Oak City Cares that is the, you know, homeless, the hub for homeless services. We are, you know, we are going where the street outreach staff are going where kids are. And they know a lot about where kids hang out. And so when they meet a youth, the immediate is, what do you need today? What is the emergency today? You know, our goal is to engage these youth for the long term, but they're not terribly trusting. They've not, you know, their history is typically that adults are not that trustworthy to them. And so our goal is like immediately, what is your emergency? Here's some snacks. Mm. Here's a water bottle. Where are you staying tonight? And how can we help make sure that that is a safe place? Mm-hmm. And then we're giving them information about how can we talk to you tomorrow? Like we're like, let's figure out where we can talk tomorrow or next week, you know, wherever, whatever feels comfortable. Here's how you can contact us anytime. We have a crisis line that's open anytime. And then we are really, you know, at that point trying to engage them for the long term and try to really get them engaged to help them connect to whether it be our transition in place program, which is the apartment program that I talked to you about. But we also partner with all the other organizations in the community to help if it's shelter tonight or if it's something more long term. And so it's a journey. It typically takes a while to kind of get folks to trust us and engage and get to that space. But our folks are really good at that. That's what they, you know, that's what they know. They know not when to push, when not to push, what's going right, what's not going right. And so, you know, they will go above and beyond. And I can give you a good story of above and beyond if this is a good time to do that. Yeah,
absolutely. Because I was just thinking, you know, when you're working with this
particular program, we had a youth that last year was, had posted on Facebook something that made us think that he was going to hurt himself. And so one of the other kids let our staff know and said that they were concerned. And our staff then spent the afternoon, immediately got in the car and went looking for him and looked and contacted all the people that we know, all the folks that we knew that worked with him, went to the place where we know, you know, the woods where we know he stayed sometimes. We contacted his friends. We contacted other providers and just put an all out alert saying, you know, if you see this youth, call us. Mm-hmm. And after a lot of looking, one of our partners called us and said, he's here. And so we got one of our clinical staff to go out and to immediately work with him. And it's, you know, we were able to kind of intervene, do a crisis intervention, kind of help make sure he was stabilized and then really go to, you know, get him to a place of safety. Mm-hmm. And that's the, you know, that's not necessarily the job of our staff, but that is what they, you know, they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that our kids are safe and are feeling safe and are supported.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's just an example of like these, you know, our folks are going to, they're going to look for kids. They are going to support them. If it's really an obscure need that they have today, where they're going to call us and say, hey, where can we get this? What are our partners? You know, who has this? Whatever it is, fill in the blank, and make sure that you feel supported.
Yeah. That's so incredible to hear. I imagine in your line of work, especially working with that demographic, there's probably a lot of heart-wrenching stories. Mm-hmm. And so when it actually works the way that you hope it works, those are the ones that you probably hang on to a lot and are hopeful for everybody to do that. That's wonderful to hear. So talk to us a little bit about where Haven House is now and what are some of the things you're hopeful for as you're moving forward? In other words, what are some of the needs or some of the future endeavors that you're looking towards with Haven House?
Yeah. So a couple things. I can tell you some immediate needs, like immediately, like today. One of the ways that folks could support us is that we have been nominated through the State Farm Neighbor Assist as one of 200 organizations in the country. If you vote for us, we are eligible for $25,000 in the top 40 organizations do get $25,000. And
excellent.
So there's, if you go to our website and go to the support us section, there's a thing where you can go in and vote and you can vote every day.
All right.
from now until October 2nd.
So and tell us the website real quick before we go any further. While that's
www.havenhousenc, like North Carolina, .org.
All right.
So havenhousenc.org.
Well, everybody listening right now, pull over first, but then get on your phone, pull over, and then go to havenhousenorg, right? Havenhouse.org, and then go to the support
havenhousenc.org.
There we go. Havenhousenc.org. Got it.
Yep. And then, go to support us, and you'll see in the drop-down box the vote for us now.
There you go.
You can vote every day, and that's a very easy way to help us get support. The other things I would say is, you know, right now we are in the middle. There's probably never been a more important time to support our organization financially. We are in the middle of our annual campaign. We are trying to raise about $200,000 to, and that's what we need just to keep our doors open this year. And so that's, you know, that's an important part of who we are. So you can find that on our website as well. It's a great time to do that. And then future wise, our organization is actually moving. And so we'll have some, you know, we are moving into a new building in the next few months. And so we will have needs to kind of connect with groups, church groups, and folks like yours to kind of help us with that process. It's going to be a big move, and not terribly far from your main headquarters.
Excellent. So, where are you moving to?
Pardon?
Where are you moving to?
Up near Spring Forest and Falls of the Neuse.
Oh yeah, right around the corner. Excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. So,
we'll be moving probably end of January, beginning of February.
Yeah.
And then the other thing right now, we're doing a lot of donation drives. It's, you know, as far as if folks want to coordinate a donation drive for food or snacks or that sort of thing,
gotcha.
We are definitely in need of that for our kids.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's you can go on our website and fill out a volunteer form and coordinate that as well.
Yeah.
That's an easy thing to do.
So talk to me about volunteering. So there's financial needs, obviously, that people can fulfill, and there's material and food and mm-hmm. snacks. What are a few ways that people could actually come help serve? Because, you know, you are dealing with a unique niche and to some degree a very tough one where a lot of training and professionalism needs to go into it. But is there room for people to come and just serve somehow? And what would be a few of those?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're, you know, that's one of those things that we've had to kind of reduce a little bit right now. And sort of find creative ways to kind of have help is been good. It's helped us be a little more creative. You know, there's always the dropping off of food at the shelter, you know, at our shelter, like cooked meals, like mm-hmm. a lasagna you can put in the freezer is always a helpful thing for the staff. Landscaping. We always have landscaping needs that sort of thing. I think I mentioned moving. We're going to need a lot of help with that, like packing up and helping move stuff. And I think there'll be some physical on-site kind of things. We have a program called Youth Career Options. The other thing that we also keep is a list of folks and their careers. So when we work with kids, these are kids in the juvenile justice system that are, you know, what we know is helping kids envision their future is a really helpful way to kind of, you know, think about, you know, more than I'm, you know, if you want a career in the technology field, a lot of our kids don't know, what does that mean?
Right.
Like, how do I get there? And so what we try to do is keep a list of career folks that are willing to allow our kids to interview them, to talk to them about their career and their career path and how they got there. So if a youth comes to us and says, hey, I want to be an attorney, then we go, okay, let's connect you with a couple of attorneys, you know, so you can kind of understand what that world is like. And it's been really helpful. We recently had a youth that was interested in the culinary field. And so we worked with one of the restaurants downtown, and he came in and literally they spent 3 hours with him just talking about what it meant to be in the what it meant to be the head chef. Met with him and talked to him and said, come on in, you can shadow, you can help us, you can watch, you know, if you're looking for a job, then talk to us, we can help figure that out. You know, it's in a time where that's, you know, restaurants are having a hard time, them giving that resource was a really important thing for this kid. And this kid left like incredibly inspired.
Yep.
And so that's, you know, that is another opportunity for folks is to say to us, hey, I'm a, you know, email, if you go into the volunteer form and just say, hey, I'm an attorney or I'm a fill in the blank, whatever, you know, that, and I would like to be on your list of folks that, you know, kids can reach out to.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible, Michelle. I mean, honestly, truly, that's such a powerful, powerful organization helping a very real need. And I love what you said earlier. You know, a lot of times you're meeting the need of the day in order to bridge a longer relationship. And what a great model to be into that. So for everybody listening again, make sure you go to havenhousenc.org. Lots of ways to get plugged in, lots of ways to support it. And Michelle, again, thank you for all you're doing and thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for the support of Crossroads.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining and listening to our program today. And thank you to Crossroads Fellowship and the Truth Network for making this show possible. You can find out more information about Crossroads Fellowship at crossroads.org. If this show has impacted you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at info@crossroads.org. Thank you to C3 Advantage for sponsoring this program. We look forward to having you join us on the next show.
Your success as a leader hinges upon buy-in from your teams, clear and consistent communication from you, and strategic delegation. My name's Cheryl Scanlon. C3 Advantage helps you steward your most valuable resource well, improve retention, grow employee engagement, and generate higher team and individual ownership. The success of your organization begins with you and depends on your team. Go deeper as a leader and watch your organization go further. Visit c3advantage.net. That's c3advantage.net.
Well, again, on behalf of Tyler, Jamie, and myself, I do want to thank all of you who listened today and those you've been listening along with us on these Saturdays. If you want more information or listen to previous episodes, I want to encourage you to go ahead and visit crossroads.org/radio. And you know, I really do appreciate you taking the time to support and listen to this program as we intentionally are targeting the partners that we have around this wonderful city. So again, thank you on behalf of all of us and have a great rest of your day.